Okay, let's start. Welcome to this both sides of the bars, young people and A meet in jail, panel session of Euripay. My name is Céline and I'm an alcoholic from Paris, France.
Hi Céline.
Hi Céline.
This is the A preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strengths and hope with each other that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for a membership that we are self-supporting through our own contributions. A is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. About anonymity. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio and films. Thus, we respectfully ask that A speakers and A members not be photographed, videotaped or identified by full name or audio tapes and in published or broadcast reports of our meetings, including those reports on new media technologies such as the internet. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our efforts to help other problem drinkers who may wish to share our recovery program with us. And our tradition of anonymity reminds us that A principles come before personalities. The meetings at Euripay are being recorded, so we ask that you only identify with your first name and city when you share them. This is a panel presentation meeting, beginning with speakers sharing on the topic, followed by questions and answers or comments. Participation during panel presentations is open to all. And please help me to welcome our first speaker, Jamie N. from Melbourne, Australia.
Hi, my name is Jamie and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jamie.
And it's really great to be here, and thanks to Jay and the Euripay committee for asking me to share. It's a real privilege. And I have a sobriety date, 17th of September 2005. And I have a home group in Melbourne, which is the Deal Men's Group, and also have a sponsor. And I guess, I suffer from alcoholism. And, ever since I was a little kid, I felt pretty uncomfortable in my own skin. And when I picked up a drink, I felt significantly better. I love the effect produced by alcohol. And, my alcoholism progressed and my drinking progressed, through my school life, university life. It affected my relationships, and until in the end I couldn't drink and I couldn't stay sober. I just didn't know what to do, and checked myself into a rehab, and started to get some help there, and I finally asked for help. And I was introduced to the program of AA, and like I said, I got a home group and I asked for some help, and since then I've been sober for 4.5 years. And when I got there, my sponsor, started to suggest to do some service and get involved and get outside of self, because my problem centred in my mind. And they sent me down to this drop-in centre, like this contact centre, and said, help some other people. And so I started taking up service, and I joined some committees. And I was about a year and a half into sobriety. It was in 2006, and some guys came into our meeting from Werribee, which is a little bit down the coast, and they were two older guys, and they said, we're running a prison roster, and we want to get some young people involved. We're getting pretty old, and we think we're going to rotate off pretty shortly, and we want to get some young people into the prisons. So come down. So I thought that was a good opportunity. So I signed up and volunteered to go to this Metropolitan Remand Centre, and I got inducted. So I went down, took a morning off work, and got inducted. And they explained, all the stuff that the prisoners could do, and they showed me all the contraband goods and how prisoners could make knives out of pens and stuff like that. And I was absolutely shitting myself. And they gave me like a retinal scan. That's like an eye scan, and that was my identification to get into the prison. So and a security pass. So Once I was inducted, I had a green pass, and I was able to wander anywhere throughout the prison. But what we had was these guys had set up a couple of meetings, like AA meetings within the prison. One was in the week and one was a Saturday morning. And what they said is, they said, you guys, you know, your group, the deal, you can run that group any way you want it. And so what it pretty much consisted of was I helped put together a roster, and rostered myself on and some other people. So we would always go down in twos. It's always suggested, you know, if you're going in a prison, to have maybe an older sober member with a bit more experience and a younger guy, you know, in case there's any issues, and also so you can just share your experience, two or more people. So we ran an AA meeting in the prison, and it was an identification meeting. We took the form out of what the guys were running with, and we shared our experience, strength and hope with the prisoners. And so we would talk for 5 to 10 minutes and share our stories and what AA had done for us, and that we were just like them. And if we had kept on drinking, that, you know, I was never in prison myself, but if I had kept on drinking, I would have ended up probably in an institution. And that the opportunity was available to them, you know, should they, you know, or when they get out, or should they get out. And and then we went around the circle, and some of them would share, and they and some of them wouldn't share, and the feedback from the prisoners was that this was fantastic. It was so much more helpful than any of the other courses or whatever they did. And some of them said, you know, will this help me get through my court case, you know, or, you know, will you be able to sign a piece of paper to say that I've done this? And we just said, you know, I would say to them, well, they will know, you know, that the fact that you're doing something positive with your life, and if you say that you're a part of AA and you're doing something, others will be able to see that. And I guess it's all public information work, you know, carrying the message to the sick and suffering alcoholic. You know, we're just trying to put, you know, throw out a whole lot of seeds out there in the field and plant the message. And if one or two grows, then that's fantastic. And I think I had a couple of years, 2.5 years of going into the prisons, and I had one guy who came down to one of our meetings at the men's group, came down for a couple of weeks, and I haven't seen him since. But I guess they're slowly, you know, they're getting that message. What else can I say about the prisons? It's a great opportunity to be of service and carry the message to the sick and suffering alcoholic. And you know, it talks about this, you know, the seventh, or the tradition, you know, that when anyone anywhere reaches out for help, that, you know, I need to be there. And you know, I was coming back from the World Convention. I was on a flight, and there was a lady there, and she was in Al-Anon, and you know, her son had been locked up in a prison, and he was like 21 or 22, and he had an armed hold up, and you know, he was in there, and I felt really you know, sorry for her. But I knew, I guess, you know, I knew that, you know, at least AA is there and it's available for people like us. So, you know, a lot of these people, they're I guess, you know, like it's both sides of the bars, is that, you know, it's a light and it's opportunity, and it gives these people some hope if there's people coming in from outside to carry the message. So I think I'll leave it there. It is a panel, so you know, happy to answer questions after this. So thanks a lot for letting me share.
Thank you. And our second speaker is William F. from London.
Hi, my name's William. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, William.
I'm going to be 5 years sober tomorrow, and I've been doing prison service for not very long, actually, since February. I suppose my first encounter with prison service was someone just announced at a meeting, we need chairs to go into prisons, and you know, I try and do service if service is kind of offered, and so I put my hand up, and I went into Wandsworth Prison in South London with another member of the fellowship. And this guy that I'd gone in with, I mean, I never went to prison myself in my drinking, although I did do things that might have got me there had I been caught. So I went in with this guy, and I was very scared. In fact, the guy I went in with had done the first 14 years of his recovery in prison, and he'd murdered his partner in a blackout. And it just seemed like there was some very serious stuff going on. But what I discovered was, when we went in, we actually went to the vulnerable prisoners wing, where they put sex offenders and people who are at risk from other inmates. And I shared my relatively high-bottom story. And what I got back was just an enormous amount of identification. You know, people talked about how they felt. And I suppose what it showed to me really was that it's a real clear case of there, but for the grace of God go I. That all of the existential stuff was exactly the same. It just so happened that our circumstances had been different. I took on my commitment, which is the prison liaison officer for West End Intergroup. I took that on, but largely because I had the time. I'm back as a student now, so it meant I was free during the day, and there's meetings during the day. And Wormwood Scrubs Prison is quite near my house. So I go in twice a month. We only have 4 meetings a month in there, and West End takes 1 or 2 of them. It's interesting because a lot of the guys that are in there are very young, and a lot of them can't remember the offence that got them into prison. They did it in blackout. Also, the AA is their first... the prison is their first encounter with AA. My home group, the young persons group in London, tends to have a lot of university graduates and people from like fairly comfortable backgrounds. And I believe, although there's nothing to back this up in the literature, so it's me having a theory, I believe that the reason for that is because if you are alcoholic in those circumstances, then it really sticks out. Whereas if you come from a very chaotic place, it tends to stay hidden for rather longer. So a lot of these people come in and they have, you know, they have no idea of any of the kind of vocabulary of alcoholism. They won't know what a blackout is. They won't really know what the point of meetings are. It took me a long time to get the security clearance I needed to go into prison. The prison authorities seem to take the attitude that, you know, no one's going anywhere, so there's really no hope. And it took about 4 or 5 months for me to get my card. So now I go in, and every meeting I take in someone from the outside. And they are all incredibly pleased to see us. I see the fact that AA is in prisons at all as a testament to the, you know, the fact that what we're doing is not a waste of time, that we're part of an unusually functional organization. You know, there aren't Scientologists in prison, for instance, not that Scientologists would. But what I mean is that, you know, they invite us in because our shit works, you know, they're always, yeah, the prisoners are always very pleased to see us, often you get the sense that they're realizing, you know, what's been going on. That when they drink, they're powerless over alcohol. That often they go into blackout. That they behave in an unmanageable way once they drink. And then there's a couple of things that I think makes AA extremely relevant for prisoners. One of them is that I know that when I came in, I needed to be re-socialized. You know, I was like a battery chicken or something that had been taken out of the factory, and I needed a group where I could recover, you know, not just recover, where I could get my marbles back, but where I could recover socially, you know, where I could learn how to be with people and learn how to listen to people and have people listen to me and what, so I talk and don't say anything and then, you talk and I don't say anything. You know, I had to keep it really simple like that. And AA provides a really safe environment to do that stuff, where we've agreed the rules beforehand, you know, that we will be less judgmental, more tolerant maybe than people outside, you know. We'll love you until you learn to love yourself. We'll put up with you even when you're being a shit. And that's what prisoners need, I think, when they come out. Because often they say, everyone I know drinks, you know. The first thing I'm going to do when I come out is go to the off license. No one wants to see, one of them said to me, no one wants to know when you're in prison. But as soon as you get out, they want to take you to the pub and give you cocaine. You know, and there's people that they only get as far as the off license. And then they get rearrested. They get £40 when they get out. And obviously £40 is enough to get you fairly drunk if you haven't drunk for 2 years, you know. Some of them don't have a problem. They have this level of denial they have to get over, because some of them don't have a problem not drinking in prison. There is hooch available, but they brew it in the toilet systems. So it's not a great... It's not got a great, you know, taste, I don't think. So some of them don't have a problem steering clear of that, but there's this worry that they'll go out. And I think, I hope that what we can do in London, and we're still working on this, is develop a way of meeting people from prison. Do it as a 12-step call. 3 minutes. So the other thing that I think makes AA particularly pertinent for prisoners is that it's a design for living that works in hard going. And there's no harsher environment than a prison. And I think that particularly, you know, the alcoholic personality, that defiance, that basically sociopathic defiance, you know, at odds with authority, is going to land you in serious trouble in a prison environment. So I think a program that teaches you to accept, you know, to accept the things you can't change, you are in prison, you know, that encourages you to practice patience, not get into a fight, you know, that will increase your sentence, and a program that that encourages you to live one day at a time. I mean, how are you going to do a 6-year stretch apart from one day at a time without getting so crazy and angry and mad? I just think we have an awful lot to offer prisoners. So I suppose my message would be that even if you come from not the wrong side of the tracks, you know, and if someone says, do you want to go into a prison, that you say yes, because I can guarantee you that they'll be pleased to see you, and they'll get something from what you have to say. In one word, Scrubs, it's a men's prison, so they're also particularly pleased to see women. For obvious reasons. So, thank you very much for listening. Thanks.
Thank you very much. So, the meeting is now open for questions and answers or comments. We ask that you limit your share to 3 minutes. Questions are welcome from the floor, but please come to the front if you are going to share and speak in the mic. Who would like to begin? Jay.
Jay alcoholic.
Hi, Jay.
Jay.
Thank you guys for sharing. Is there any bridge system for people when they're coming out of jail to going into the AA groups and the AA fellowship, so they don't just get dropped off at the off license?
Thanks for the question. The question is there any bridge function after they come out of AA to get back into society so that they don't drink? In Melbourne in Australia, what we do is we offer to pick them up after they get out of the prison, and make sure that they're going to an AA meeting at their welcome. I don't know if at that particular institution has a bridge program. I'm sure they have something in place, but the offer that we give them in AA is that we'll pick them up to take them to a meeting. And what I do is I provide my contact number to the prisoners. I didn't want to pass on like other details of other members in my home group because of anonymity or whatever, but I guess I try to leave it so that when they get out that they'll call and ask for help, and then that they'll come along to an AA meeting. So, so the offer is there to meet them after they get out. comment?
Yeah, we're not doing as well as we could on that in London. Some prisons have a RAPT wing, which is, I don't know what that stands for, RAPT, I assume, I don't know. But they do offer a kind of counselling when people come out. But we can meet people from the prison gates as a 12-step call. And we've also got a list without numbers on it, because we can't give out the where to find in prison, because it's got phone numbers on it, and the prison authorities say that, you know, that it could be used for, you know, blackmail or something. And we have an informal arrangement with the guy that runs it in prison, where we can pass on a number, as Jamie said, or they can do it as a 12-step call. But yeah, I think it's something that we need to work harder at in London.
I'm Celine, an alcoholic. I've worked with Paris A members in the jail area, and in France we have most of the prisoners, when they get out of prison, they go to specific institutions or specific place where they actually stay for a while, and A can go there. So it's a way of not doing the stuff personal, but being present and being available. That's my experience. Do you guys have any questions, comments, experience to share?
Hi.
I can't really hear you.
Come up.
Sorry.
I'm not usually pink or so much pink.
Thank you. It's okay. It's working.
It's okay. I go to the jail, and we have meetings every week. And when they quit, I gave them the numbers from their town. They can go to the AA. But further, we do nothing. I don't know if that's a good solution. They can go of their own. When they won't go, they go. When just like outside, they come or they come not. That's more I cannot do that. I think when they are from the other side of the country, I give them the names of the groups and phone numbers, so they have a choice. That's it.
Thank you.
Sounds like Jimi Hendrix.
I'm still an alcoholic. I have a question actually about the women-men stuff. How is it going when you're just with male prisoners and women come for a meeting? Is it like a normal meeting, or is it like the motivations could change or whatever? I'm wondering.
It's basically a normal meeting. The person that I took over from was a friend of mine from the young persons group, Amy. And there's always two, there's always two sober alcoholics in the room. And then we take our meeting on the, in the health wing. So, you know, and there's kind of staff there. So it's not, I mean, there's two of us. There's no kind of, once the meeting is going, that's the surprising thing. Once the meeting is going, it's an ordinary meeting with more or less the same kind of tensions and kind of strange vibrations that sometimes happen in an ordinary meeting. But, you know, Yeah, I mean, sorry, I was being slightly flippant earlier. Obviously, the prisoners do, there are female staff in the prison as well, so it's not their only sight of women, but they could just do with a bit of variation. Is what I mean.
I might read this out. It's why do people go in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a guideline from it's a draft of YAA members going to correctional facilities. So one of the purposes of imprisonment is to afford inmates an opportunity to correct their illegal behaviour by addressing any underlying problem of alcoholism. AA has sustained a record for over 75 years as an effective option for many inmates to turn their lives around. For members of AA, visiting sick alcoholics where they are has long been one of the important and happiest ways of keeping ourselves sober. The book Alcoholics Anonymous includes a chapter on working with others which states, "Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail." Later in the chapter, it concludes that helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. Our AA fellowship encapsulates this policy in its banner displayed at many AA meetings. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there, and for that I am responsible. All members have to do in correctional centres is to be channels for the AA message. Everyone has a story to share in correctional centres because inmates are as varied as AA members. You don't have to be in jail yourself. Not only are we doing 12 step and making ourselves useful in recovery, as the 12 steps and 12 traditions talks about it, it also gives us the sense, that sense of belonging we often lack as practicing alcoholics. It also lets sober alcoholics see what could happen to them if they drink again. However, most important of all, it's the change we witness in inmates that motivates us to carry the AA message.
Hi, my name is Alexander, my colleague.
Alexander.
I have one question about the prisons in Australia and England. Here in Sweden, I don't know how to explain, but if you wait 1 year, you are in jail just 8 months. So how is it in Australia and in England? Do you understand what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
You answer
first. The way it works in England tends to be that if you'll serve half your... So if you get a 14-year sentence, you'll serve seven. And if you serve half of it unless you offend again within the prison system. It's just kind of the way it works then.
Yeah, in Australia, the place that I work in is a remand centre. So there's about 600 inmates, and they're on remand, so they haven't actually been sentenced. So they're in it's like a holding pen, and they may be there from a few days up to 6 or 9 months, but they're waiting for sentencing in like a proper jail. But I'm not sure what the actual guidelines are on, you know, how long, you know, you get dependent on how, you know, compared to your sentencing. But the institute that I work in is all males in that Metropolitan Remand Centre, and only male AA members can go in to attend that meeting. But there are other women's prisons that have women in there, and women can attend those. AA women do attend and run AA meetings in there.
Yes.
Hi, hey, my name's Prabhu, an alcoholic. I have a few comments I wanted to make just based on what you guys have just shared. One of the things, I went to Ikipar last year, and when I came back, I came back to England, and I wanted to carry the message the best that I could to as many people as possible. I remember speaking to somebody, one of my home groups, who basically started talking a lot about the prison service that he did sort of 20 years ago in America. And he mentioned a lot about how the most people, where you're going to find alcoholics that are willing to listen, you're more likely to find them in a prison because they've got nothing sort of else to do, kind of thing. And they're obviously for a lot of people, alcohol was what actually got them to prison. So what I decided to do was I decided to get in contact with some people, or find out if there were people in AA who were doing service at young offenders institutions, so I could get access to young people. So what I did was I contacted some people in London who put me in contact with some other people. And basically I've been into Felsham Young Offenders Prison, which is, I suppose, in Greater London, and gone in and shared at two of the meetings there. And it was really interesting because, to be honest with you, I didn't want to go and do it. I thought, I don't want to go into a prison because I've never been into a prison before. So my thought was, why would anyone in a prison want to listen to me? And the other thing that I thought as well was, I got sober at 22 years old, and the age for the prison, the young offenders prison, was actually kind of 15 to 21. I thought that they might not be able to identify with me, but I thought, what the heck, I'll give it a go and see what happens. And I went and did service the first time. And I must admit, it was like, it's by far one of the best things I've ever done in recovery. What I kind of found was, I sat down, especially the last time that I went in, because there were more guys there, I went into the meeting and I sat down with these guys. And what I think they really liked was the fact that I had come into the prison and I wasn't telling them what to do because I'd read it in a textbook. I was telling them what to do because I'd actually been done exactly the same thing as them. And what they were so used to seeing was people like counsellors coming in and telling them what to do when the counsellor hasn't actually done what they are in prison for. And it was interesting because it was exactly the same as talking to a newcomer. You see the glint in their eye when they identify with what you're going on about. And what I found as well was that they identified a lot with me getting sober at 22 years old. And I think for them it helped them, knowing that it was actually possible to come out of prison and actually turn up to a young person's meeting in London, for example, and actually live a sober life. Mm. You know, because I think I agree with a lot of what William said. A lot of people actually leave, and the second they leave, they take the money they're given and go straight to the off license, and they don't even stand a chance. Whereas I think what they do actually at Feltham is they don't give them where to find, they just give them a list of meetings. And basically they can go to those meetings if they choose to. And some of them have been successful, but I think the thing that I got a lot from it was really worth doing. And what I found was that even though at first I didn't actually want to go and do it, I was best off just turning up and seeing what happens and giving it a shot for a couple of times, and it worked out great. So at the moment I'm going through the security clearance process, which, like you mentioned, takes a really long time, to actually become a secretary at Felton Young Offenders Prison. And I think all I wanted to say was that there's a lot of people here, which I'm really pleased about. And if you haven't done service in a prison, or you are doing service in a prison, I'm like, brilliant. But if you haven't, it would be really cool if you kind of went away and actually found out what was going on in your community. And if you wanted to go and do service at a young offenders prison, or if you're a woman and you weren't comfortable doing service in a men's prison, you could go and find out about women's prisons. Because I'm sure there's a real, if there are, the prison that I've done service in is a boys' prison. So I'm sure that there are other women's young offenders prisons in England that probably nobody's actually going to do service at. And I think the best way to probably find out is obviously ask at your home group, ask at your intergroup, or ask at your sort of region and find out what's going on in the area. So that's all I have to say. So, yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
For me, in Australia, approximately 10 to 30 people attending out of, like I said, up to 500 people. So it's fairly good numbers.
Yeah. At one with Scrubs, there's only ever 8, but there's a waiting list because the prison is understaffed, so they have to bring all the people off the wing in order to come to the meeting, and that requires staff. But as I say, there's a waiting list. At Wandsworth, and I went to do a chair in Wandsworth again last week or the week before. I thought there'd be 8 of them, and there was a room of 30 prisoners because they've got a rehab wing there. They've got a wrapped wing there. The thing that is different from a normal meeting is that in most meetings you tend to have quite a high kind of median of sobriety. You know, you have a few people who have been sober a while, whereas in Wormwood Scrubs, a lot of them, are only just, it's basically a meeting largely of newcomers, and probably me and the chair will be, or definitely me and the chair will have the most sobriety in the room. So this, we could do with having more meetings so that more people could come in, and so they had a bit of a running start when they got out, because one a week isn't enough, you know. There's one AA and two NA meetings. Yeah, then maybe we could get more people into it. And we could do with going in with three people as well. I think that would improve it. So that then you have more of a, you know, more of this kind of ballast of sobriety to stop people being, feeling, you know, the feeling in the meeting being too kind of mad.
I was going to say also the... it's considered a privilege in Australia to go to the AA meetings, so if you've not been behaving, you're not allowed to go there. And also, we give out free coffee at the meetings, which they don't always get coffee. So some of them are just there for the coffee, and then they come along and they say, you know, that was really great. And some of them are also there, they've maybe got other problems, they identify as a drug addict or whatever. So we point out that they might want to attend, you know, NA when they leave. But I guess as long as they're there and they're hearing the message, you know, they know that there's something for them to do when they get out. I think the hardest thing is trying to get them, you know, like to attend a meeting once they leave prison. That's the biggest challenge. And I guess we just can carry the message and see how they go.
I mean, we don't actually. They used to get tea at Worm and Scrubs during the meeting, but they don't do that anymore. But I think people do partly just come because of the atmosphere in the meeting. Is very different from an atmosphere anywhere else in a prison, really. That just that sense of, like, it's being a safe place where people can talk. And the things that, you know, the way that we talk in recovery is totally antithetical to the whole prison mentality, you know. The idea of allowing yourself to be vulnerable, you know, holding hands at the end of the meeting. That can be a bit embarrassing, actually. I think that they do see it as a privilege, and like I said, they always, you know, they always say thanks for coming in.
Is there anything you talked about
In Wellness Scrubs, they can have postal sponsorship, so they could do the steps that way. But most of them are there on remand, so they're waiting to be sentenced. Well, the only reason that they'd serve their whole sentence in Wellness Scrubs would be if they had connection with the local area. And so far, we haven't had any of them. But if they did show an interest in working the steps, then yeah, I'm sure we could find a way of doing that. But there's no time. In the, you know, we see them for 1 hour a week, so you know, to sit and do step work with them isn't really viable at the moment. But it's something we should look into.
I'm
a veteran
alcoholic, drunk, I just wanted to sort of pick up on what was just said. In the States, we had done a meeting that was similar to this meeting. For about a year and a half, we did work in a prison. But the way we did it is we brought in a number of people. It was all volunteer basis. We would go in maybe once a month or so to the general population and speak to the general population about what we were doing in the meeting. And it was a step meeting. We would bring people through the steps, not necessarily like through like an AWOL service. We would use the big book and we would try to do as much one-on-one stuff as we could. But the way we would do it, so we'd go in and speak to the general population, and then and anybody who wanted to come to that voluntarily would come to the group voluntarily, and we'd have maybe three or four AA members come in and work steps with guys there. We would work them through like the first three steps in sort of a group setting, and then when we had people working on their fourth step, we would invite them to help work the other guys, the new guys, through. So the inmates were then beginning to sponsor some of their peers, which seemed to have pretty good results. And then we would work with them one-on-one during their fourth steps. They were allowed to keep some paper and pencil, and they were allowed to keep handouts that we gave them that sort of would help instruct on the questions, point them to the right pages in the books and things like that. And that seemed to have pretty good results. It's true, you guys covered it in really great detail, I think, all the sort of the ins and outs of the jail commitments, but some people are certainly there just to sort of meet one another and like just chat and like just hang out and not go to like what other commitments they have to do in prison. But the thing, like you're saying, it's just like any AA meeting. Is the point is you go and you share the message, and hopefully somebody will get that message. And through the year and a half that I was doing that, we've had some really amazing experiences. And some guys get out and then they freak out and they don't know what to do and they relapse, but they know where to go. Like one of the guys I worked with in that institution found me like years after he got out, and I ended up working him through the steps again. But so that was a really good, I think, system for doing it. And it invited them into the process of sponsorship already and invited them into the process of the steps. And while they're there, they're just rotting. And like sometimes they'll even do steps just out of boredom, yeah, which is like pretty great, actually, really. Like, you know, like it's just some way to like sort of shatter the stagnation that they're in. But they're getting through a fourth step, you know, which is pretty powerful. And some of the guys were making amends over the phone and things like that, or making written amends via mail. But the other thing I wanted to touch on just quickly is that go in. Like people, they need people to come in. And there's tremendous respect for from the prison. From what I found, I never went to jail. I'm not a particularly like jail. I don't have a jail mentality. I mean, I grew up with all these people, and I was a heroin addict, but and a drunk. But they just have tremendous respect for people that come in and offer their time, because they're, especially in the States, they're completely marginalized by most of society. They're left out. They're forgotten, and they feel that incredible pressure. So as you guys were saying, like from whatever background you come in, if you're there with the intention to help, it's registered quite well. And there are some dramatic stories that some of my friends have about like being involved in prison riots and the prisoners like creating a barrier to protect them. I mean, this is rare. This is a very rare instance of a prison riot. The prison, the inmates are generally quite respectful and they understand like what's going on. So I mean, people have inhibitions. I think that they should do it anyways. I mean, it's one of the most powerful ways of carrying the message, and getting over your own fear to do that is also really good for you. But yeah, so I think there are ways to negotiate the steps in as well. I'm sorry, I talked way too much.
Thank you. Thanks. Can I just say, I feel like it's partly just the effect of sitting on this side of the table, but I feel like I should somehow be, you know, defending what we do in when we're scrubs. I mean, I haven't been doing it very long. I'm only learning the ropes, and I think there are problems with it. And I think we should do more to sponsor people and encourage people to do step work. But it's just that we've only recently been allowed back into the prison, and there's talk at the moment of doing 2 meetings a week, and that would be an improvement. But I'd be really interested to hear more from you guys about how you think you think would be a good way of doing it, you know, because we have to make it. We're building it back up, you know, at this point.
Yeah, one thing also is when we go in there, we give them all a little big book too. So we take collections. People can donate to the prison district fund, and so all of the members are getting a little big book. And you know, some of them are reading through it, some people are kind of doing the steps, but like, I would agree with what William said, is like getting the time to work through and to sponsor someone is quite challenging. So I guess some of the meetings, I guess they're sort of like a PI session. It is a meeting where typically there's a few experienced sober members and then the new guys, but they're certainly getting exposed to AA, and then, you know, what they do with that is up to them, so.
Are there just another sort of approach that we began to use, is we would negotiate with the people there, the people that ran the program. It was called like a life skills program or something like that. And we would explain to them what we were doing, and they would allow us to come in on individual, like an hour, an extra week, to meet with guys individually, which is really, I mean, when the programs are established, as you're saying, it's much easier to begin to do that. But those are also, if they understand, and most of the, because what, 95% of the people in prison are there as a result of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
So the people that are working with the inmates generally recognize the need for the AA. So if there's a way to negotiate with them, I usually find they're quite receptive.
I mean, yeah. We are operating at the most kind of basic, you know, right. We go in and they put us in a room. You know, yeah. They meet us at the door and walk us there. I mean, in Scrubs anyway, they have no rehab, you know, so. But what you're saying is absolutely true, yeah. I think I'll try and talk to this guy next time I go in.
Yeah.
And yeah, tout the idea of, like, maybe we could do some a step meeting.
I mean, the other thing too is that when they see the results, the inmates change. They begin to change in front of the POs or whoever's there, the correctional officers, and they see the results. And the guys actually have it really. It builds on itself. It's, mm-hmm. It's quite powerful momentum.
Yeah, right. Mm.
And there's a little community most of the time.
Hello, my name is Ali, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
Hi.
I thought I should cheer up, but I've got. Well, okay. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, well, just start again.
Because I have a bad back, I'm going to sit down, if that's okay.
Okay.
So I'm one of those who are very grateful for the meetings at the prison, because I got the clean 1st of April 1994 in prison. And I stayed clean now for over 16 years. So it works. And a lot of thanks to all the people who comes in for the meetings in prison. When I sort of got locked up, there was 8 policemen who took me the 1st of April, 1994, and put me in isolation for 3 months. And I got sentenced to 2 years in prison. And during these 3 months, I came to... the only thing I came up with was that I need help. So I decided to ask for help, and they put me in this new project where I have this 12-step program in a prison in Sweden, where they tried it for the first time. So when I came there, I thought I was just going to quit with all the other drugs, and I'm going to keep the alcohol. And I didn't see that I had a problem with alcohol. So I said, well, I like this, but I'm going to change to another prison, because they start talking about my feelings and how I'm thinking and all the consequences and stuff. And I said, this has nothing to do with my life. So what I want to do is to quit the drugs and I want to keep the alcohol. But after a while, I saw that the real problem I had was with alcohol, because I was first sentenced in the prison system when I was 15 years old. And I had so much consequences from the alcohol, so I even started to move from Sweden to the States. So I moved to Florida, and I thought it's going to be different when I move there. But the thing was, the problem followed me, because the problem was in me. So I got into the prison system in the States, in Florida first. And I thought, maybe I haven't moved far enough. So I moved all the way to California. So I thought in LA it should be different. So I got into prison twice there, before I decided to go back to Sweden. I went back to Sweden, I got into prison again. So I don't know, it's something with me in prison. So I'm sort of allergic to the prison system. But the thing is that I was using for 23 years. And what happened was that I quit maybe 500 to 1,000 times for myself. But it never worked. So what happened this time was that I only didn't use for 1 day. That was the thing. I tried to be clean for 1 day, just for today. So that I took all these consequences I had. I saw them, that I can't use anything, no alcohol, no drugs. And I tried to be clean for only 1 day. And that was the big the solution for me, to do what other alcoholics and addicts have done before me. And it's worked now for over 16 years, and I know I passed over 5,000 days, I think, so it's only 1 day at a time. So it's a fantastic program. But I'm also very grateful for those people who came in to these meetings in prison, because and I did that because we had the meetings ourselves, and sometimes we were one or two or three person on that. But when people came from the outside, it was so important to listen to them, and they gave us hope. And you know, and the thing was that after a while, they saw me as you say in the States, a trustee, that they have trust for me, that they are going to behave if they let me outside. So they let me to go to meetings in town, And that was so important for me that they came there and designed for me. They did take from their own time to give for me, you know, to help me to come outside into the city for a meeting. And it was so important for me to see that it worked outside the prison. And it gave me hope to continue. And like you said, it was very important that the girls came inside because you have to have something to hope for. And if they are sharing, and you know, if you're sitting there and there are six or maybe 10 people and they just looked at you once, it was like a good price, you know. Make my day, you know. So the thing is that keep doing the service and go to the meetings in prison. I do that today, off and on, and I think it's very important to go in there and try to share of what you can have when you come out. Because I think that I didn't have much chance to get clean by myself. So the thing is, I was very happy that I had my first 18 months locked up, because I wouldn't have been able to do this by myself. So I'm very grateful for the Criminal Justice Department because they put me away. But I also got help at the same time. And I think it's important that the criminal system should start involving the 12-step program for everybody. And today we have, I think, at 3 or 4 prisons in Sweden that they have the program. And they are educating the personnel who's working there to help the inmates, and I think it's one of the it's a lot of people coming. When I started there, we had one meeting in a week, each week, and when I came out from prison, we had 9 meetings a week. So two days we had 2 meetings. So I'm very grateful and thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone for being a part of this meeting. The next meeting in this room will be the meditation.